All right. So, oh, and in case you got a root beer,
yeah.
You got a coconut water.
Kick ass.
Got a root beer for you. And root beer for you.
Sure.
Unless you want the coconut water.
I might. I don't know.
I got my favorite kind of Pepsi.
I kind of feel like, what would it be like to mix the two?
First.
But I'm not going to.
You could certainly find out.
Nah.
No? Okay.
Question is, which one will make me want to pee earlier?
Ooh.
Because then I'll take the other one.
Good question.
Does it have a warning?
Is there a warning? Causes frequent urination.
I'm gonna go with the logic that since this has more sugar in it.
The sugar goes right through you. Right,
exactly. So this will.
Urine
the
follows sugar.
Water.
That's what Brock used to always tell me.
Oh, yes. As a matter of fact, that's what. Yes. Hello and welcome to the Sprocket Podcast, where we simplify the good life. My name is Brock Dittus.
And I'm Aaron Flores, where we are playing with the faders and the volume on our machine at the same time.
Oh, yeah. Like we do.
Therefore, decreasing the volume at double the speed. From broadcasting from the People's Republic of Portland, nestled in the heart of Cascadia.
We are the show that brings you somewhat irreverent conversations about the intricacies of thinking locally with a global perspective and enjoying the best that life has to offer along the way.
Covering bicycling, trains in transit, adventures and life hacks, and today, making good on our Cranksgiving promises.
That's right. We have a guest host with us. The guest host with the most. Paula Funataka, hello. How are you?
Hi, I'm great. Thanks.
Yes, you're the reluctant winner of the of the guest host giveaway. We put our in an envelope. We put, hey, you get to be on the Sprocket Podcast. I think it was a guest host position, but you could be a guest, or you could be a host, or you could be somewhere in between. Both words are present.
Yeah, so. We might be somewhere in between, but yes.
Well, thank you for making good. Thank you for taking us up on our offer.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, and congratulations.
Thanks.
Winning the prize package.
Being the last prize winner.
That's right. But when we asked you, who would you like to talk to if you were the guest host on the Sprocket Podcast, you said Puddle Cycle.
Puddle Cycle.
Absolutely. So what do you like about Puddle Cycle?
I love that they keep up the fun of biking through the winter and the worst time of the year, and it's just a whole lot of fun. And doesn't matter if it's raining or cold, we'll be out there riding.
Absolutely, yeah, and it's good. Well, Tom McTighe, you've been here before.
Yes, sir.
Good to see you.
Good to see all of you.
Yeah, and Tom Howe, I've seen you on the internet multiple times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I post a lot of notes on the ride on the Facebook ride pages. So that's probably where you've seen me.
Yes, you're one of the guys behind kind of making the announcements happen and many other things. So we'll get to that soon. But thank you all for joining us. Thank you for being here. And Aaron, how are you?
I am doing all right. I'm doing well.
Very good. What accounts for your wellness?
What account? Coconut water with pulp.
Very good.
Oh, yeah, wait.
There we go.
All right. That's Tom McTighe opening coconut water without pulp. Have you had coconut water with pulp before?
Yeah, it's true.
What? Okay. Is in a good way?
Yeah. It's
Are you
not,
into
it's
it?
It's not too bad. It's like bubble tea, only a little less... work intensive.
Okay, so you don't have to like burst a tapioca bubble.
Right.
You can just.
Well, and here's my fear with bubble tea.
Tell me.
Is sometimes you got to work really hard with those things, and, you know,
straws.
Getting them through the straw.
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
You get enough suction in there, and like eventually one's going to like come straight right to the back of my throat.
Yeah.
And,
the tapioca.
You know, that's going to be the demise. And how embarrassing is that? Like, you know, you're with all these other dead people wherever. Dead people go, like your soul or whatever, if that's your thing. And, you know, people will be like, so how'd you die? Well, you know, I was protesting whatever and I jumped in front of this train and they're like, wow, that was cool.
Noble.
And how did you die? Well, I was robbing a bank and there was a shootout. Wow, that was action. And how did you die? Well, I was sucking this tapioca through a straw and it was really hard to do. And then it... lodged into my esophagus.
You don't know your own strength.
Right? And they're like, oh, man, yeah. that's the lamest way to die.
I don't want that on my toe tag.
No, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Tapioca.
Death by tapioca inhalation. And,
well,
and
we'll
forceful.
Take that one off our list. Yeah.
you had it all planned, and yet.
That's right.
I'm glad that you've got tapioca water. I have my favorite kind of Pepsi, which is caffeine-free and diet, which has the tastiest of flavors.
I still, and now it's aspartame-free.
I know, exactly. So they took all the good stuff out of it.
Should we talk about where we got these drinks, Brock?
Would you like to?
Yes.
Yes, please tell me.
We did not get them at the Beer Mongers at Southeast Division and 12.
Well, let me tell you that the Beer Mongers is a great place
A wonderful place for fancy beverages.
Any fancy alcoholic beverage you would like.
In fact, there's a new Brew Doctor kombucha, Vanilla Oak.
Vanilla oak.
I was about to try today.
Does it taste like oak?
I don't know. Okay. I haven't tried it yet.
Well, we should say that I was supposed to bring the drinks, but I didn't know I had the drinks. So
you didn't know you were supposed to bring the drinks.
You and I did a handoff earlier, and I didn't realize it included the beverages for tonight. So
yeah.
I am sorry. I apologize. And next week, we'll find out what vanilla oak tastes like.
This homework.
Yes. This is, it, well, is, you know, it's like when you end the episode of like a series or the season of a series, you know, on that cliffhanger, so that you have to wait all, in this case, 7 days for the next episode to find out what happened. Who shot JR?
Right on. Yeah, I didn't even see that.
Who was it?
Coming.
I thought it was, what's his name? Patrick Ewing.
Okay.
No, wait, that's a basketball player.
Wait, he didn't have three names?
J.R. Ewing was the guy. And, wait, didn't he turn out to be alive still? Didn't they, like, bring him back?
He came back on an episode of The Simpsons, I think.
Oh, okay.
It's like, J.R.
I'm crossing the two up, apparently.
I do like that anyone who's famous shows up on The Simpsons eventually.
Yes.
So we should be waiting for our
fictional
our
or otherwise.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Who was the unknown Thomas Pynchon?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was his actual voice on there.
Right. No one knows what he looks like
when they animated him. Yeah. Cause he's this writer who famously has never had his face on a book jacket. So like supposedly no one knows what he looks like. And anytime he's on the show, it's been two episodes that he's been on there. It's this just nondescript dude with a sweater vest and a paper bag over his head with a big question mark on the paper bag.
Right. And that is my favorite Aaron Flores Halloween costume. Yeah, yes. So it was like 2011 or thereabouts.
Yeah, maybe around there.
You know, when I moved out of the Lentz neighborhood and into like the, what was it, Laurelhurst?
Yeah.
I believe I brought that with me.
Oh, the big like sandwich board?
Yeah.
of Thomas Pynchon.
Uh-huh. Yeah, the one that you wore. I had it around forever, and I eventually just, I should have asked you if you wanted it back.
I didn't.
Okay, well. Hey, Aaron Flores, have you ever slept on snow?
No. But I'll tell you why, because I have winter camped a few times.
Didn't
in my
you
life.
Get the Boy Scout Polar Badge?
The Polar Bear
camping
Award.
In the winter?
You have to do it four times.
Four times.
Two of which have to be outdoors.
Fuck that.
Two can be indoors.
I'm not doing that.
He really doesn't like that.
I don't want a polar bear patch.
But that doesn't mean I slept on snow.
Okay. Not directly on it.
Well, no. What you're supposed to do is dig it out of wherever you're going to put your tent.
Okay. So you have to dig all the way down to the dirt?
Right.
So that was my mistake.
That would be preferential.
Okay. I tried going snow camping with my wife and a couple friends this weekend, and it was something else. It was quite something. I would say that I need lots more gear before I can make that work well.
You need here's where I like start.
Did you shiver the whole night through?
Pontificating.
Yes.
Was
really?
It just
absolutely.
No fun? Wow.
It was absolutely no fun. It sounded like the sort of thing I would enjoy. I would enjoy doing it again because I didn't have a problem staying warm like during the day when I had my boots on and all that stuff. But it was difficult for me, I think, to, I only had so much padding. I had like my summer padding.
Right.
And my summer padding
sometimes.
So you
just had like your like, what is it?
I had my little fold-out ground
fold,
mat.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and
it was
then
like
your
Therm-a-Rest
sleeping bag
or whatever. Yeah. One of those closed cell foam fold-out things.
Okay.
Nothing inflatable.
Were all your companions like,
I think they were doing better than I was, but they all had inflatable pads, so they had a certain amount. They had a modicum of separation from the ground. I could feel like cold seeping out of my, cold seeping into me and warmth seeping out of me all night long.
Yeah.
I woke up at 3 a.m. after not sleeping super well, And I pulled out my phone out of the pants that were next to my head because I wanted to keep them warm so I could put them on and they'd be warm when I put them on. I pulled the phone out of my pocket and the weather forecast because I got curious.
You know, yeah.
I wasn't sleeping well and it was 3 a.m. and I was like, well, what's happening right now? So AccuWeather told me that it was 10 degrees
wow.
and that it was about to be 11 degrees at 5 a.m. So, yeah, I think it's a super cool way to camp, but I would not do it without proper equipment
yeah.
next time.
So mostly you want a bunch of stuff underneath you.
Yes.
Not just under your tent.
Uh-huh.
I'm assuming you had like, you know, a footprint or ground cover of some
right.
kind.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So you want some things under your tent, but you also want some things underneath you.
That's right.
If you can't dig all the way down to ground from the snow.
Uh-huh.
One thing you could do is like get branches, pine trees,
right.
branches, or
a little more separation.
Yeah, and like lay them down wherever you're going to put your tent.
Right.
Yeah, things like that. You want more underneath you than you would on top of you.
Ordinarily,
yes,
yeah, for sure. I had an emergency sleeping bag, which I unrolled and put underneath my sleeping bag,
like
that
one
I was
of those
like
almost
a space
like it's
blanket.
foil. Or
yeah.
Whatever. Okay.
Yeah. And that did something to reflect heat, but yeah. really I think it just collected my sweat that came from the bottom of my sleeping bag.
Which then
bag.
Froze.
Didn't freeze, but
or
it was
got
super
cold.
Wet.
Yeah. yeah, okay.
So, I don't know, it was okay, but I wouldn't do it again without the proper gear. So.
I'd be interested in doing this with you guys.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, that's too bad, because I don't think I want to do it again. No, thank you, I appreciate that. We should try that someday. It was one of those things that requires a car. I don't like to do too many car-based adventures,
yeah.
but it was the sort of thing that you can't get up to Mount Hood in the snow very easily.
Oh, yeah. And you were up at Trillium?
Trillium Lake.
Okay.
Yeah. I think my favorite part was building a fire in the campfire ring of the campsite that we had already been dug out by somebody else. We showed up, and it was dug out, but there was like 6 feet of snow on the ground, and somebody had dug down to the picnic table in one of these sites.
Wow.
So we found the fire ring, and we lit a fire there, and we hung out. And that caused more ice to form because, you know, it got hot and then it got cold and all
sure.
that. But, yeah, that was my favorite part of the night.
I would have been, like, wondering if you could build, like, almost an igloo out of... If it's, like, 6 feet
yeah.
of snow, you could, like, dig down
yeah.
and then, like, you know...
And somebody did. That's
really?
The thing. Yeah, like, not too far from where we were staying, someone had built an igloo. We went out, like, to look at the lake. It looks
yeah.
like a frozen lake. And there was an igloo right there on the shore that somebody had built by carving out, you know, with a saw blocks
yeah.
of ice.
Some...
And, yeah. So it's been done. It was there. People were doing it. It's pretty cool. So did you do anything that was more fun than what I did?
I mean, how does one measure fun, really?
By not freezing. did you not freeze this week?
No. I stayed indoors most days.
Good for you.
Ran into Paula and a bunch of people. When was that? It was about a week ago. Well,
a little
two
over,
weeks from
yeah,
now.
Maybe two.
When it first came down. Before it all froze over, and then it was just solid ice.
Oh, back when there was snow.
Yeah.
yeah.
It's all gone
Yeah,
now.
We rode down to, help me.
Groundwork
Coffee House on Hawthorne.
Yeah. And, biking to breakfast.
Yeah.
I think I saw,
awesome.
Yeah. And was it biking to beers after that?
Well, it was like the biking to beers crew
okay.
and me.
Yeah. Nice. Well, congratulations. That's
Paula
awesome.
Was that a Wednesday?
Yes. That's yeah. early Wednesday.
How big are those tires?
4-inch.
4-inch tires.
The
wow.
Wednesday is a bicycle.
It's a fat
it
bike.
Oh,
yes.
Okay, gotcha.
It's kind of an improvement on the
Pugsley.
It's sort of... I think the Pugsley is great, and that's what I rode. It's amazing. But it's like, what things could be tweaked on the Pugsley to make it even better?
Right.
Nice. That's fantastic. It's a good idea to have something like that when the conditions are right.
Yeah.
You'll
yes,
be glad you did.
Right. Oh, totally. The fat bike is like at home in all that snow. And
yeah. I saw that on the internet when I was doing something else and I was jealous.
Yeah.
But I don't have a fat bike, so I couldn't have joined you guys anyways.
Well, we were the only two in the gang that had fat bikes.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That was PJ, like his bike had some pretty thin tires on there.
Just like 32s maybe?
Yeah.
But he had studs.
Oh, okay. So
yeah.
that's why.
That helps. Okay.
I have some with studs that are thinner. So do you, right, Tom?
Yeah, my studded tires are 35 millimeter, but they were did really well on the ice, but when it got really slushy, it was a little more dicey because they couldn't.
Okay.
The studs really don't do you any good.
Nothing to grip
slush.
On.
Yeah.
yeah. How do you guys like studs riding?
Well,
Well, they really help a lot. Like if you hit an unexpected patch of ice, it doesn't affect you.
Really?
Yeah.
It's like a playground in the snow when you have studs. It's like an amazing time.
That's super cool.
Yeah.
That's the sort of thing that you want to have.
Yeah.
Wow. I wish I had some now.
Yeah.
That's cool.
The whole town is like a mountain bike paradise.
Oh, I bet.
Oh, it was beautiful.
So there's a company that's making tire chains for bicycles now.
Wow.
And they can go on like any kind of brake, you know, whether you have rim brakes or disc brakes. And I was looking into them because I was thinking, well, I don't want to like change my tires or whatever. But then like now I'm carrying chains.
Yeah.
But from your recommendation.
Right.
Sounds like studs are kind of the way to go.
Yeah. It's like $100 for, you know, a pair of them. And who, like, was it last year, a couple years ago, somebody had like zip ties?
Yeah, it's another trick. You can just put a bunch of zip ties around, you know, like every air spoke, you put a zip tie around your tire, and they don't let, they wear out pretty fast, especially if you hit pavement. But for like one day of riding in the snow, it's great.
Good for snow, not for ice, right?
It'll help a little bit on ice because you can still get traction if you're going uphill or something.
But they wouldn't
dig in well enough. They're not frequent like when you have studs, you have like 144 studs per tire.
Yeah.
So zip ties, you have a lot fewer numbers, so that they're losing traction, you know, periodically as you're riding along.
Zip ties this incredible street credibility factor, though.
They do.
Because like, it's the whole DIY ethic, right?
Man.
This person knows how to mod their bike out with stuff they have at home.
So I did that like in December when we first had
you
the...
You did that?
Yeah, I did
that.
No. And I kept my fenders on even. So like as I rolled, you'd hear it like go... Cluck, 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 cluck. But yeah, as soon as it was like mixed with pavement and snow, the pavement would just... grind down the zip ties. At one point, I put on a set of zip ties, left my girlfriend's house, got to the Fred Meyer, like near my house. All the zip ties, but like two were gone. Re-zip tied it, got back from the Fred Meyer to my house, and all those zip ties were gone.
Right.
So I was like, okay, I don't know if it's worth it.
What was the cost per trip then?
That's a good question. Yeah. Well, it was...
What's a zip tie go for?
Well, it's a... what is it? $11 for a pack of 100.
Okay.
And
so you might have
it's
been like $9.50.
62...
per tire?
What is it? Or 60-something per tire.
Wow.
What is it? 32. 64 per tire.
Okay, so call in if you can do the math. You can win some...
a bag of zip ties. We will send
I'll
you a
send
bag
you
of zip
what
ties.
I have left in zip ties.
I was thinking it's ironic because, like, usually tire chains on automobiles, on motor vehicles, wear down the streets. But in this case, it's
they?
The other way around.
Do you want to hear my treatise on the conditions of streets here in Portland now?
Do I?
I don't know. Do you?
can you briefly summarize it?
Lots of holes now.
Yes.
What was once a minor hole is now
a major hole.
A manhole,
yes.
So to speak, or lady.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But anyways,
yeah.
You could fit a person.
There's a lot of holes
what
all
I'm
over
saying.
Town.
Yes.
Yeah, it's problematic. That's what happens. I think at least around here. But we don't have great street maintenance in general. So.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of what I was getting at. Is they were kind of bad to begin with. And so
now they're worse.
Riding around with chains on, especially like when it melted. And here's another thing is chains really are only effective from like 25 to 30 miles per hour or lower.
Right.
You know? And
right.
People are driving. I think most people just don't know. They, you know, pick up a set of chains and are like, okay, I'm good. And then they drive
right.
it like
55
like
miles an hour
or whatever the speed limit is or not.
I heard they might try to privatize potholes.
Really?
Privatized potholes.
So, you know, give it to the corporation, you know, something. Take it out of the government's hands and let the private
like
sector deal with it.
Adopt
you know?
A highway for real this time.
I'm like, making this all up.
Oh. I was really getting into this.
Wait, this is April 1st?
this pothole repaired by Citibank.
Or by, like, the Lions or whatever.
Right, yeah. The Lions.
The Rotary Club.
The color their logo into the space of the pothole.
That's actually a decent
right,
idea.
There's a branding opportunity.
Yeah, advertising
the
placement.
Of every
take
hole.
That.
I mean, it's a whole new world out there.
A
this
whole
could
new world. Right?
Right.
Don't you dare close your eyes.
Oh my goodness.
All right, moving on. And speaking of terrible weather, what happens when you go out and ride your bikes in the rain?
Yeah.
Tom McTighe, you've been here before at Pedal Cycle 2 years ago now?
2 years ago, okay. Yes. We talked then.
Yeah. I was just reposting all of our stuff. We had to move from one media server to another, so all the podcast files will soon be coming from another location. But I was looking at old files and whatnot,
yeah.
And yours was there, and I was like, wow, it's already been so long.
Yeah, yeah.
So welcome back.
Thank you very much. Yeah, yeah. So...
But let's talk Puddle Cycle. So what is new with Puddle Cycle?
What's the new thing?
The newest news.
What are all the cool kids doing with Puddle Cycle?
Well, let's see. I think we had our youngest participant.
Yeah, at least for a long duration ride, yeah, you know, a 20-mile ride.
Kelly's child?
Oh, gosh.
Six or
he's, no, he's a little older than that. He's probably about
probably about eight,
I guess.
He's 25.
He's young at heart.
Yeah. But he's 9 or something?
9, 10, something.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. And so,
are we talking about neighbor Kelly?
We met.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, yeah, we met at IKEA. We biked to Vancouver over the I-205 bridge. We biked all around Vancouver.
Wow.
And then he biked back over the I-205 bridge. And he just kept coming back.
We're talking
for more.
Like a bike on his own, not like a trailer bike.
Yeah, yeah,
his own bike. That kid's going to be badass.
That's right.
Yeah, and at 9 years old, like, how long was the ride at Woo-wee. All? How long did this one go?
That ride was over 20 miles, like 21 miles or so.
Yeah, at 9 years old, that's a long, long distance.
Yeah, and he was like taking off his clothes like, no, Mom, I'm hot. I don't want to wear the stupid jacket. It's like, dude, you are so tough.
That's impressive.
Yeah, he's our poster child.
Yeah, which ride was that again? That was, I'm trying to remember the names.
It's called Riders to the Stars.
Oh, okay.
Gets that name because there's a place in Vancouver that has, what do they call it? They're called RGB stars. They have these hundreds of these stars that can glow any color.
Oh, really?
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's really, when you get to Vancouver, things are really over the top. There's no, these houses up there, there's nothing like them in Portland. I don't know why that is, but.
Yeah, and there's no limit to how much they can build on one single property. It's like these enormous houses with lights to beat the band.
Yeah.
There's probably a little less to do there, maybe, but but the lights are amazing.
It's worth biking to see.
The RGB stars is like a whole block of
nine houses now.
Together.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah, worth seeing.
Yes. Yeah.
I wouldn't want to live there, but I'd like to see.
Not that we need a huge reason to have a mission.
Right.
But
right. whatever it's going to be.
But that's a pretty good one to hang our hat on.
Cuz there was a ride was it yesterday or the day before?
Yesterday, right?
Yesterday.
Yeah. I was there. I think it was yesterday.
Yeah.
You guys were both there, right?
Right.
And that was the one that if I had not been on the mountain, I would have wanted to go to because this was what was the title of it again?
Beautiful Bomb Shelter Ride.
Right.
That's
right.
A great title in and of itself.
Right?
And you guys went to Kelly Point, or not, sorry, Kelly Point is the park
Butte.
On the river. Kelly Butte is the hill.
Oh, the bomb shelter.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, you know about it.
So tell us a little bit about the history of this place.
Well, the place was built back in the 1950s, like it was 1956, when the Soviet Union had bombers that could reach the United States. So they thought, well, it's going to take them several hours to get here, so we'll build this big bomb shelter, then we'll have everybody, all the bigwigs in Portland, the mayor and such, evacuate up to the bomb shelter when the Russian bombers are coming. then a few years later, like in the early 60s, Russia got ICBM, so, you know, we only had like 20 minutes. So then the bomb shelters became obsolete. They turned into like a 911 center after that eventually.
For sure.
And that's where your 911 calls went.
Yeah, and people used to complain of building sickness, right? It was like the place was set up strangely so that a lot of people just had bad reactions to spending a lot of time
in
there.
Big cement dome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it probably
no
didn't.
Windows.
Under the ground. Yeah.
Under the ground. Yes.
Didn't help that there was a big apocalyptic mural painted on the wall as well.
Right.
So
every morning you're having your coffee, getting ready for 8 hours of work.
Right.
Just staring at some artist's depiction of the end of the world.
Yeah.
And this is Googleable. Maybe we'll post a picture of this on our website.
Yeah, I remember reading about it a while back.
Yeah.
It was like on someone's blog. It was kind of like designed almost as if it was an Angel Fire site. Yeah, but I don't remember a whole lot about it. Just like little pictures here and there.
So it was a bomb shelter, and then it was the 911 center.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was kind of like a transient
Yeah, they closed it. They were trying to sell it, and they decided to board it up. But they didn't do a very good job boarding it up, so people broke in there and started living in there. And it got really nasty inside.
Yeah.
Really bad.
And so finally they just buried it. Like, they took all this leftover soil from some other project and put it on top of this, of the entrance to this place. And now when you go up there, it's just Kelly Butte.
Yeah. Well, you can still see where the main entrance was, because they only poured the dirt over the actual door itself, so you can still see the two sides at least.
Right.
You can see the escape hatch in the back where they filled that in with concrete.
Right. I was wondering to myself when I went up there years back if I could break in, but there's no way.
Yeah, it'd be pretty hard.
Yeah.
Jackhammer.
Bring your shovels. Just,
you know, some time and some shovels. You know, or, you know, we could just Shawshank this thing.
Sure.
Like, yeah. Overtime.
Just a pocket full of rocks at a time.
Because there's just nothing else that needs
to. I'll just
doing.
Put a big poster over it. You know, they'll never notice.
A camo net.
It's just Cheryl Ladd. There's the
exactly.
I don't know why.
There you go.
My
See,
age.
You're getting it.
Okay, next.
Yes, so that was a ride that happened yesterday. But what else are you guys doing this year?
Coming up then, the future of this year.
What does the future
Let's
hold?
Let's see.
Well, you might want to mention the next ride this weekend. The Portland Aerial Tram is turning 10 years old. So we're having a big celebration down there on Saturday, and we're going to do a ride that will, a little 6-mile ride that will just go down Springwater up the Willamette Greenway to the tram for to join in the festivities there.
Oh, cool.
It's fantastic.
And then are you guys going to take your bikes up the tram after that, or?
Probably not. I mean, people have you still have to pay for the tram, even though it's their big festival. They still make people
come on, guys. It's your 10th anniversary.
I can ride for free because we work at OHSU. but anybody else has to pay for it.
So it's no Hobbit's birthday, but it's definitely it is a cool institution. It's kind of like Portland's Space Needle or something. It's like our iconic, or like, you know, the Peace Arch or anything else. It is the closest thing we have to a physical installation that represents the city.
Yeah.
So, it's also a great way to get up the hill without having to work too hard.
Yes. Right. It's a great way to get down the hill.
Yeah.
Because you go up and then you can just coast with your bike all the way down.
That's true. If you get up the hill, though, if you get up the hill on your own power, can't you take the tram for free?
Yeah, if you can. Well, technically, you're supposed to have a ticket if you go downhill.
Oh, okay.
But they don't ask you for a ticket.
They don't check at the top.
So if 10 people with bicycles showed up at the same time, they'd probably get suspicious. But
oh, I see. Okay.
As long as it's just one person, that's
right.
No difference.
But then you're giving up all that sweet altitude that you've worked for to bike up and all that.
Right.
So I wouldn't. Yeah, I'd probably, if I biked up, I'd ride down.
It'd be like the most masochistic ride. You know?
It would.
We're going to go up this hill.
With no payoff.
But then, then we'll have no payoff.
Depends on what you like. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Good point.
People like to climb.
So Puddle Cycle started out, just to recap, Puddle Cycle started out as just like, hey, let's go outside and ride bikes when it's wet.
Yeah.
And now it seems like it's become an institution. Are there twice as many rides as there were before?
I think every year there's been a ride every weekend for 4 months, right?
Well, I think that first year
it was like 17 rides or something.
Yeah, it might have been a little bit less than the very first year.
Rides. Yeah. So, yeah, it was a little ambitious, but now it just seems normal.
Mm-hmm. There we go. Yeah. I'm glad somebody's holding it down. So what are the other rides coming up?
Oh, we got another ride to Vancouver. Basically, going over the I-5 bridge and back over the I-205 bridge. And we're kind of doing an experiment with that ride where we started at a MAC station, ended at a MAC station. So it shortens the total duration, because sometimes these rides are kind of out. You're riding a long ways just to get to the start of the ride. And you have to ride a long ways to get back if you're just doing it by bike. So we throw MACs into the mix. That shortens the distance. Like, that ride would be like about a 35-mile ride if you're just coming from like this part of town. But if you do those two MAC stations, it winds up being about 16 miles.
Okay, so you use transit, and that makes it easier to do both.
We can go to more outlying areas and not require people to ride really long distances.
It's a good option to have, yeah. And I'm glad you're setting that up. I feel like that's one of those options that people don't take as much advantage of as they could. I mean, I don't, because I don't do as many fun rides as I used to. But it's the sort of thing that, like, if the MAX is there, if light rail is there, or the bus goes somewhere, it makes it easy for people to get there, which
right
is cool.
Yeah.
So what else? Is that the two bridges ride?
Yeah, it's called the Two Bridges Ride.
Nice. So over the Columbia River twice.
That's right.
What else do we have coming up?
We have another ride called the Two Cities Ride. It's kind of a Dickinsonian tale called A Ride of Two Cities. So
it was the best of
Ready
rides.
Ready to be literary.
Yeah.
It was the worst of rides.
But the two cities in this case are Fairview and Gresham, which a lot of people don't know Fairview is a city, but it is. It has its own little tiny downtown area and everything. So.
Oh, yeah.
That's another ride that we're going to use Max for that one. It'll start at the Ruby Junction Max station and there as well.
There we go. What does Fairview have that Portland does not?
It has a kind of a cool looking city hall. What's that?
Nice.
Yeah.
what style is the city hall built in?
It's kind of modern style. It's like looks kind of like a the downtown looks kind of like a shopping center. I would say.
So there you go. I know there's an enormous Target in Fairview.
So Portland doesn't quite look like a shopping center.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. You go through downtown Fairview. You don't know it's downtown Fairview. You would think you're just like in a neighborhood or a shopping center or something.
Nice.
The gateway to the Troutdale Shopping Center.
Exactly. Yeah. From one to the next. Yeah. So how? What date? What date is that?
That one is on. What do we have the date here for? That's on February 5th.
February 5th. Okay. Two Bridges, February 12th. The tram is next weekend, January 28th. And what else do we have?
Another one's called On Top of Old Baldy. And Paula, no, Paula's very familiar with this. Right. It's actually Grant View, if you want to say something about it.
Well, it got its name way back in the 60s. There was a fire on top. It used to be an isolated butte. And one summer, it caught on fire and we lived not too far from there, maybe a couple miles. So all of the family, we sat in our backyard and watched the glow off the top. And it kind of got its namesake, Mount Baldy, from that point on because it basically burned the top off.
Never grew back?
No.
Huh. Mm. Yeah, there's a few of those here in the Northwest I know of, like Silver Star Mountain. There's not a natural tree line there, but there was a big fire and now no trees grow. I guess wind probably keeps some of that from happening and then people walking up to see the view from the top as well. But
and then walking around.
That's right.
Tramping
it down. Yeah, where is Old Baldy then?
That's on those Grand Butte, which is out kind of off division, about 170th or so.
Okay, so like kind of East County, Multnomah County.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never seen it. Well, this would be a good advantage.
I've been out that way
opportunity.
Several times. I can't believe, like, well, I guess this is a testament that I need to just stop and look around.
Right. Well, I'd go on a puddle cycle ride.
And I will go on this ride and go like, oh, yeah, I've been here.
You know, right next to Mount Baldy is what they call the Grand Canyon of Gresham. It's this quarry that's 170 feet deep, but you can't actually get to it very easily, at least. It's like wade across a creek and climb a thorny embankment to actually see the quarry, but you get a view from it from Mount Baldy.
Oh, nice.
At least during the winter when the trees are all, because you're looking north to see that quarry, whereas the bald part of Mount Baldy, you're looking to the south.
Oh, okay. Right.
Do you know what kind of stone or rocks they're pulling out of the quarry?
I don't actually know it might not even be active anymore. It might just be because it's full of water on the bottom now.
Yeah, as many quarries become. I know on the East Coast, we visited one when I was in the Boston area, and it's an enormous lake. And I don't know that they're still quarrying out of it, but it's privately held, and you're not supposed to be there, but everybody goes.
Ah.
Yeah, I suppose that probably happens here too. People are sneaking in. Puddle Cycle would not support that sort of thing. That's not this, nor would the Sprocket Podcast. You should not trespass on
you
private
not
property.
See it on the itinerary.
That's right. Yeah. And then there's one more I see on the calendar for the 26th of February.
Yeah, that's the last ride. So that's kind of a repeat of one we did a few years ago. We went at least the first half of it is we're calling it 20s Present and P Greenway Future. Again, getting back to that Dickens type titling, but basically the MP Greenway is going to be a future bike way that's been in planning for like 20 years now. They still haven't really done much with it. So we kind of ride where that's going to be. And then the 20s is a bikeway that's being built right. In fact, it's been built already. They just haven't turned on the signals. There's some key signals that go over like streets like Gresham, like Stark and Belmont, Hawthorne. So the greenway is done. but they sound and turn these main these singles on that get you across these major intersections.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's the main problem with that route.
I remember reading about that a lot on Bike Portland. I always wanted to run the route and see what it's like.
Yeah, and so the NP Greenway is at like North Portland. Then?
Yeah, it's the North Portland Greenway. So that's kind of the name they give it. Like they do the MP lowercase for whatever reason. So at least I've seen it printed that way before.
It's very marketable.
Yeah, is that the route that was supposed to go kind of down along the river, along the Willamette River, below the bluffs?
Yeah, would have gone the route they were really pushing for was a street called the Cement Road that goes through the railroad yards, but the railroad's not going to allow people to use that route, even though people ride on it now. I guess as long as you don't get caught, you can ride on it. But it's like,
right.
but they're going. So we're not going to use that route. But we're going to go on Greeley instead.
Okay, so people can feel okay about going on this ride. Yeah. They're not going to be forced to trespass again.
We're not going through people's backyards or anything on this one. No.
No. Not there are a lot of cool.
Oh, we missed that turn. Sorry.
Looks like we're going through this person's yard.
The cement road is interesting because it's the easiest way for anybody who's already down by the river to get north up to North Portland. But like you were saying, the railroad doesn't want to play nice. Like, they don't want to share. And I would imagine they have some legitimate concerns. But I'm of the opinion that railroads are kind of like not great people.
I can't disagree with you.
Yeah, I'm not talking about their employees. I'm just talking about the railroads themselves.
Well, historically speaking, as sort of the railroad industry happened and
right.
then continue to happen, it's like this culture of like, we're going to get what we want when we want it,
uh-huh.
and we're not going to let anyone sort of get in our way. And I think...
And if we happen to make a lot of money, well, that's...
Well, then that's just the American way. But I think honestly, like, that culture just continued and continued especially when it comes to giving up right away or right of passage, I don't know. But anyways, they've been still reluctant to let go of any of that power.
Right, in the name of safety.
Yeah.
I sure hope that's what it is.
And I guess safety. If you're a railroad and you don't have right of way, then you're kind of...
Not really
you're
a railroad.
Really
anymore.
A railroad.
you're a visitor. Yeah, I would not ask you, of course, to incriminate yourself, but do you know of anyone who has ridden the cement road?
Oh, well, Bike Portland had a big article about a lady who was riding it, and she got intercepted by their security guard. And
I remember that one.
And it was a rather unpleasant encounter from what the article said.
Yeah, no, security is no joke when it comes to, like if you do meet security,
right.
they'll throw the book at you.
Well, if we go back a couple episodes to, now I forget his name, Sean,
uh-huh.
last name.
Yes, Sean, whose
it's
name?
Not.
It's like so close.
We're
it's
so
Sean
sorry.
Stroop.
Thank you, Sean Stroop.
We're not sorry.
You know,
anymore.
He's had some stories,
right?
You know, where the railroad people they don't mess around.
Did he ride the rails?
No. This was building
the Gateway Green project.
Gateway Green project,
and he worked as a liaison between the railroads and all the people who needed to get across the tracks to work on the
in
project.
Order to work on the equipment, and
right?
Everything.
Yeah, but. I am curious because I've always wanted to do it, and I've always been afraid of what if I, you know, if they catch
what
me,
what if
do
I got
a
naked
felon?
And
yeah.
you know, just did it?
Well, there is that. I mean, you know, if I took
if you're naked, they won't mess with you.
If I took off every identifying article
get
of clothing,
get a six pack of coconut water, and
that's
just
right.
do it.
Uh-huh. Yeah, cut my hair, paint myself blue, and go. All right. I think I have my plan now.
Just say it's a protest.
Oh, well, exactly, and it would be. But anyways, that's a route that the railroad never signed off on. And the problem with it is that I've been to both ends, and it's so easy to keep on going.
Oh, yeah?
All there is a sign that says, don't.
Oh, wow. I know. I think I'm getting where you're, like, so just past Cathedral Park, there... Is that where, like, part of it starts?
No, it's down. But, well, that's part of the North Portland Greenway, as far as I know, eventually, someday. Well, like we were saying, it's been 10 years in and probably 20 years till completion or something. But as far as I know, the cement road that goes across the railroad company's property goes from, like, the Fremont Bridge over to where the Daimler Truck Factory is.
Okay.
It's getting really specific for anybody who doesn't live in Portland. I'm sorry. But... the point is, like,
these are not suggestions to go there either.
Right. The point is, you can almost see the other end that you're not supposed to cross to.
Right. Okay.
Almost.
No, I guess I haven't been there.
Yeah. Anyways, all that to say that that's one of the things that you won't be riding on at this Puddle Cycle ride. how has Puddle Cycle this year been compared to years previous?
It's been great, right? Getting better every year.
If you want to do anything Christmas related, Puddle Cycle is a place to go, right?
Yeah, I think this year we're doing a little more climbing this year. Just happened. I mean, some years just have accidental themes, you know, where like we just end up doing some stuff. We went to Lake Oswego. We went to Vancouver. So we're kind of like visiting other towns,
Bike elsewhere.
Yeah, you can get to another state.
What? You can bug out by bike.
Great.
There's a whole world outside of Portland.
That's true. You
can
burst the bubble.
The empty streets downtown for Christmas ride. How was that?
That was a really good time.
Nice.
I am so sorry I did not join.
Yeah, it was a good one.
But tell us some stories. Was it really super empty down there?
It was fairly empty, yeah. And I think it's just like something that a little boy's dream came true. You know, like Portland without cars is like,
I got a bike for Christmas and I could actually ride it safely.
Yeah. So yeah, that was really good. And the turnout was probably
our two biggest rides have been that ride and the Rudolph ride from 2 years ago, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer ride. I'm not sure which one's bigger, but they're both, you know, like I have 100 people, I guess, at them probably.
Right.
And 100 is not, that's a large group of people at that point.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's like 200 wheels turning at once.
What are your crowd?
Unless some had tricycles.
Right. Oh, true. Yeah, there was at least one unicycle.
At least 200 wheels.
I know there was one unicycle.
Make no assumptions.
That's for the tricycle.
We're back to 200.
I was going to say, do you guys have any like crowd management strategies with that many people? What, do you use the conventional means of
like corking?
I
or
think
what?
Portland. I together? Think yeah, like we don't really deputize anyone, but I think that with that many people, there are certain people that just happen to be there that just happen to cork, and it seems
now I
like,
really regret not going on this ride.
Yeah,
if there's anything that Aaron loves, it's corking. By corking, we mean corking is when like two people will stand and block the flow of traffic against a light cycle so that a whole group of bicyclists can travel through together.
Technically not legal.
Technically, but usually the safest way to keep a ride together.
Oftentimes authorities will look the other way. I don't think...
Oftentimes.
I've even corked a police officer or a police cruiser.
Holy crap.
And how did that go?
So you've got...
They just stood there.
Zip ties.
I made sure not to make eye contact with them by any means. But
and you a six pack of coconut water.
Yeah, right.
All right, get me some blue paint. Let's go.
But then again,
ride that railroad.
You don't want to cork, like, say, a railroad.
Right.
No.
Or Max.
Train.
You
light
do not.
Rail.
You do not
Max. Yeah. And even public buses, I feel like they're kind of doing their job. They're getting people around. Most people would probably say they don't want to.
If you're at an intersection, you're at an intersection.
Right.
But, yeah, for the most part, I would leave any kind of municipality alone.
For the most part. But Tom McDonough,
anyway,
you're saying that you guys don't like encourage this. It's just kind of what happens when you get enough Portlanders together.
Yeah, and I think that many people, and like when the streets, you know, there's only like one car waiting, they kind of realize that, you know, it's Christmas morning after all.
Christmical mass.
And I'm in Portland. I think I might have to wait for 100 bicyclists. But, you know,
I mean,
it's like 2 minutes.
But for real, like, we just made that person's Portland Christmas.
Right,
I mean,
yeah.
How much more Portland can we get for you,
right,
visitor in the car?
An Instagram miracle just happened. No.
Time for your favorite Vine.
Right.
By the way, RIP Vine. They're done.
That's right. It's gone now.
Because everything is now Vine, basically.
I suppose, right?
Like on Twitter, now every video loops if it's a certain one.
Right.
Yeah. So,
right.
Kill the competition. Beat them up. Hail Ray Kroc. So, what other rides that have already happened are memorable? Is there anything happened that you guys were really excited about? Or like a destination you pulled off that you weren't sure you could?
I kind of like when the temperature got really, really, really low, we pull out this one ride, and it's the mindfulness ride, where it's in the city. It's something that, you know, most people can get to if they live anywhere in town. And then we just loop Laurelhurst Park for a little while, and then we go eat breakfast. And it was like 12 degrees this year, and it was kind of perfect. So we lit some incense, and we passed out mantras, and we went around the park like 7 times, and then we ate a lot of food.
Spent time in contemplative thought and realized I'm hungry.
Right.
Nice. That's very cool.
Now, did you practice mindful eating afterwards?
I think we let it all slide at that point.
Left it in the park.
Yeah. Yeah.
My mindfulness is waiting for me at Laurelhurst. It'll be fine.
Right. It'll be there next year.
That's cool. Yeah. How long were you out there then? You said 7 laps. How long does that take a group to do?
Well, yeah, we kind of hit every obscure nook and cranny of Laurelhurst Park. But yeah, wasn't it?
We sloughed up. We sloughed up what one person would lead and the next person would lead. So everybody kind of picked their own little route.
Right.
So eventually, I think we've got every single variation possible.
Because Laurelhurst, that has a lot of like little pathways and whatnot. Like you can kind of crisscross that park in a number of different ways.
Right. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It was
very
a good
cool.
Time. Yeah.
And what was the temperature? Do you know?
I think it was, I don't know, in the teens.
Okay.
Yeah. That was the day it started snowing that day too. So it was snowing.
Oh.
Yeah.
It actually picked up pretty. It wasn't the huge snow. It was the one before that.
So okay.
Snowing when we're at the park, then it really picked up when we got done eating. As soon as we left the place that we were eating, that's when it really started coming down hard.
Right.
The middle snow.
No one lost a finger or anything. So
that's good.
That's good.
The first year we did it,
someone lost a finger.
There were some like teenagers there with no socks on.
What?
Yeah, I was like, hey. Let's ride, okay? Like they lasted like a lap and a half, 2 laps.
Okay.
And I was like, we gotta run on home and
bundle up,
put on some socks,
get your feet in.
Seriously,
on the hob. Yeah.
Yikes! Wow. Well, the cold is no joke. That's for sure.
That's right.
Yeah. And what? How did you guys kick off? You said Halloween was your kind of kickoff this year, right?
Right on. Yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah, we do the one called Trick or Treat Ride. So we go to this place called the Doll Asylum. You know, these people have this house without these dolls.
Oh yeah,
in it, so.
That's right.
So we go from there to Lone Fear Cemetery to see their tour of departed souls. And in between, there's a few haunted houses. You know, people who go all out decorating their houses up. Like there's one called Crestfallen Manor that, you know, the whole yard has all these tombstones. And there's a spider that jumps out of the ground at you when you walk by and that type of thing.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
No spoilers.
You want to know what it's like? You gotta come on the ride.
That's right.
And Lone Fir is a great tour of untimely departures.
Right, they do this like every Halloween. Right?
Yeah, and it raises money for the cemetery.
Yeah, you've got actors. What? Spoilers. They're actors. portraying.
They weren't real.
Portraying the various famous people who are buried in the cemetery who have something to do with the city's past, and they tell a story about kind of how they lived and how they died.
Right on. Yep.
Yeah. But it's a cool deal. I still have not done that myself. I would like to go and see that one sometime. So
it's bucket list.
Yeah. Next year. Was it hard to get tickets to this thing? I hear it's popular.
Yeah. Online, you kind of have to be proactive.
Gotcha. Get them early.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Paula, you're the guest host. Are there any questions that we haven't asked that you would like to make sure get answered?
Let's see. So what keeps you doing this year after year? I mean, what?
Wow.
For all that work.
I love Portland so much. It's kind of like once it got it rolling, love of the city and so on. It's just a tiny, you know, Portland's been good to me. So, I think it's a good thing to, you know, try to give back a little bit and just kind of invite people out, and whoever shows up can, enjoy it.
No, in my case, I was actually doing this anyways. So when I do a ride, I don't really have to do much planning. I say, I'll take them on this route. I already know I've done it in the past, so it's an easy way to figure it out. So
it's in Tom Hawes' blood.
Yeah,
that's a great idea. Like, hey, I would like to do this. Who wants to go?
Yeah, right on. Yep.
Yeah, it doesn't matter how many people we get either. If it's only Tom and I, we'll still go.
It's like you.
What's been your smallest gathering?
Tom and I, like...
when it's pouring down rain, that's usually when you get the low attendance.
Yeah. What was the one that started at... where's that?
Mount Scott Rotter Slide Ride. That was the one. It was only you and I.
Oh.
That was the one we had. The only, that was...
all the other ones have been pretty well attended this year, but that was the one where it was only Tom and I this year.
Yeah.
Too. And then there was one last year where we did the co-op tour.
Yeah,
where it was only you and I. So that's only happened once. Only like, happened twice so far that nobody else showed up except
like
us.
A deluge of like ice. Or yeah. You know, and people are just like, nah. But yeah.
That's right. I remember.
Go ahead.
It sounded like fun because, yeah, there's water slides and it's cold outside, but it was also icy. And so I think a lot of people weren't super excited about being on the ice. Maybe. Yeah. I felt bad because that was one that I would have wanted to go on.
Yeah. It's definitely that my comfort level improved, like, you know, getting balaclava and like I have these bar mitts now. If you want to Google bar mitts.
Yeah.
I got them from my bar mitzvah. No, but that's what everyone's like, oh, you get those for your bar mitzvah. But those are sweet. Those are really nice. And like, you know, every year, you know, kind of up your gear a little bit and, you know, and get a little bit more out there and into crazier and crazier weather because, you know, you work up until Friday and then you want to be able to tell somebody something on Monday, like, hey, I did this kooky thing.
What'd you do on the weekend? Well, I put my hands in bar mitts and I went down a water slide.
That's right.
Yeah.
What do you do to keep your feet warm?
Feet? Tom Howe?
Oh, actually, well, one thing I've discovered this year is the waterproof socks that Showers Pass makes.
Yes.
I've heard good things about these.
That way you can just wear regular shoes over them.
Did you win those at Cranksgiving?
No, I actually brought them.
You bought them?
Yeah.
Well, that worked then.
I will sing their praises.
You heard about them at Cranksgiving, though, right?
Yeah.
So if anyone wants to donate anything to Cranksgiving, this is proof that it actually works.
That's right.
What about you, Paul? How do you...
Well, since I don't use, like, specific biking shoes, then I just look for waterproof and wintertime insulated and then wool socks.
Yeah,
wool
dry
is always
feet
good.
Or happy feet.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Right. And there's the power of positive thinking. I mean, you know,
right.
That can keep you pretty warm.
No.
You're doing it wrong.
I think that's like 5 minutes.
But if you're on the verge of being cold, positive thinking will keep you feeling better for a little while.
I'm sorry. I didn't.
It's like you're like pound a bag.
Now I feel bad, actually.
No, it seems like wool socks, waterproof shoes, and then maybe booties like on top of that. Like pretty much that's your ticket to happy feet, it seems like.
Yeah, the booties are really great if you want to keep your the shoes you're wearing dry. You just put booties over your shoes.
Booties. It's fun to say.
You pull the booties off and your shoes are still dry.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been wanting to try that, but I've never really wanted to throw down the money. I'm not sure if they work, I guess.
So it's like a $40 item?
Yeah, that's the Showers Pass item as well. It basically is I like the Showers Pass one because they have a solid bottom. Whereas a lot of ones you see that are more race or ornia, they have like these big holes in the bottom for the cleats to go through. But for some reason, water.
Yeah.
A lot of water in that way as well.
Yeah. Well, and I've seen Mark had a pair of those booties. Mark, I can't remember his last name.
Yeah. Bertzecki?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. For the.
He's Portland famous.
Alley Cross.
Okay. Right. Yeah. But he had. Good booties.
And granted, it was the alley cross, but they were just shredded by the end of the by the end of the race.
Right.
And I thought to myself, like, I'm not going to spend money on these things.
So maybe there's a story there. Maybe there were alligators or something. I don't know. But I've had mine for a couple of years, and they're still pretty good.
Okay. Pretty durable.
But the problem with the booties is, like, if you lose one booty, you've lost your booties, you know?
Right.
It's like losing a shoe, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
So you kind of have to be a responsible person.
It goes to waterproof booty heaven, and then you send the other one along someday.
Right.
So do you have a string tied to them, and then those
up
your
hands? Right. Oh, my God.
Like mittens.
I would never admit to that, but it actually...
Sounds like he's admitting something.
Let's just say that I have had my booties for a couple of years now, and I haven't lost either one.
Nice.
Paula, did you have anything else that you were curious about?
Sure. So what's been probably out of all the years your most memorable pedal cycle ride?
Wow. I kind of live for today, so, you know, I'd have to kind of go back and look at the look at the blog roll or whatever. What about you, Tom? How?
I don't know. I'd like the Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer sing-along because I've never tried a nighttime ride like that where you have, like, you're carrying your video system with you and you're showing you're going to these parks and accepting people to sing along to Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer when all the shoppers downtown are walking by. And, and actually worked out pretty well.
That was cool. And we actually got that up. That was probably, that one is definitely in the top two or three. And, we had strangers come up and sing with us. And then we ended up on the water looking up at the sign.
The finale where we're singing Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer under Rudolph.
Nice.
Oh, right.
So apropos,
is this the stop motion animation Rudolph?
Yeah, the one for nine. That's why it was a big event because we did it in 2014. It was the 50th anniversary.
Okay. So. Kind of like this year's The Grinch ride.
Yeah.
Also the 50th anniversary.
Right.
Yeah. And you were projecting portions of the movie. So you had a sound system and you had a projector.
Yeah, for The Grinch, we just watched the whole. It's only 25 minutes long, whereas Rudolph was like an hour long.
Right.
So we just watched the whole Grinch at one spot using projecting the movie onto a bridge pillar.
Okay.
But worked out pretty well.
But for Rudolph, you were moving it from place to place.
Yeah, we had like a 20-inch monitor on a cart that was pulled behind my bicycle.
Okay, gotcha. So you weren't projecting.
Which was amazing.
I see.
That's pretty cool. It sound like that's just not, you know.
Well, that's no small feat.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. It was pretty cool.
How does one mount a 20-inch monitor to a bicycle?
I actually use zip ties. This was a Dell monitor, and I took the stand off of it and just took the flat panel part and just stuck it on the bike and put zip ties through little vent holes and
there we go.
Get enough zip ties on there.
Perfect.
Another ride that was good was last year we paired up with the Grilled by Bike folks, and that was a really nice ride.
Was that the Chilled by Bike?
Yes.
Okay.
I guess so.
Right.
Yeah.
That was an enormous draw. Well, and Paul, you were on the ride that Nathan Jones was leading, the Attempted Century, where we got turned around by ice.
Yes.
And then. At the end of that ride, I ended up going on to Chilled by Bike. So I'm not sure if you were there or not, but yes, that was quite.
So you got
an epic
a ride
event.
Day in,
right? Well, it was like I didn't ride a century, so I should probably go drink.
And who better to drink with, right?
That's right, than the Grilled by Bike crew. So yes, that was an event.
Good times, good people, lots of coconut water.
That's right. Yeah. Well, anything else?
So in terms of rides, what made you choose winter to draw people out?
Wow. I think that question kind of unravels the more you think about it. Like, choosing winter is a bad idea if you're trying to make friends. That's probably a slow way to do it. Yeah. But I think, just coming from the Midwest and just wanting to be outside, in the winter, it's kind of a way for me to be like, well, now I kind of have this contract with society where like, I've told people that I'm going to be over there by that, bathroom near in the park. And so I need to go there now and then have fun. So that's kind of my motivation.
Just getting people out.
Gets me out of the house. Yeah. And, it's cool to see some other folks and have winter adventures. Tom Howe?
Well, you were learning Founders Pedal Cycle, so I kind of followed your lead. I thought, because I was riding myself all by my lonesome, during the winter. And then I thought, well, wait a minute. Tom started this group of rides for they're all winter long. Maybe I should join in. So I joined in. So I actually joined your rides that very first year. Then later on the season, I did that ride when Paul was on it. It was the Trains and High Rains ride where we had flooding and we went down to Johnson Creek to see the waterfall coming out at the end of the Johnson Creek ends. There's a little stream that comes out, but it's a waterfall when there's flooding.
it's been a good collaboration, and kind of like you guys have had a good collaboration, and it's just a thing about it's a kind of a fable of like talk to your people in your community, and like maybe you can become better than the sum of your themselves.
Yeah, and no one should have to do something fun alone when they could do it with other people if they want to.
That's a motto of some kind.
No mandatory solo fun.
Right.
That's right.
Right on.
There's got to be more wacky people wanting to ride in the pouring rain,
right on,
30-degree weather.
Right.
Yeah.
Even Nathan Jones can't ride alone.
That's true.
All the time.
That's right. True. Yeah. Well, thank you so much, all of you, for being here. Really appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thanks so much.
And before we close out this, do you want to promote your shop or your?
Sure. So I part time, kind of on the side, I run Funatake Cyclecraft, kind of artisan build and service on bikes and stuff, light fabrication.
I didn't know that. That's amazing.
Oh my God.
Not so secret.
How would people find you if they were interested in your service?
Usually on Facebook. I have a page.
Cool. We'll link it up.
Okay. Great.
Very good.
Thanks.
Excellent. Well, thank you for
so much demand now from all of our millions of listeners.
Feel the draw of the Sprocket Podcast.
There you go.
Thank you for joining us as the guest host. Really appreciate
thanks
it.
Thanks so much for the prize, and it's been fun.
Yeah, and Tom McTighe and Tom Howe, thank you for joining us. Thank you for telling us about Puddle Cycle. We'll be sure to link up to your project as well. Do you all have time to hang around with our mail and news?
Sure do.
Sure. Yeah.
Fabulous. All right. Well, why don't we look into our headlines first, shall we?
Let's do that.
All right. And that's a root beer you can open.
This is
do it in front of the mic.
Oh, that was nice.
Yeah.
What is your root beer?
It was almost like a sigh.
It's going, ah.
All right. Here come our headlines.
What can compare with the thrill of a brand new bike?
I like my bike.
All right, what's on our calendar? Besides the awesome rides
for
Puddle Cycle.
Puddle Cycle rides?
Yes.
See. Coming up January 28th, Collabo Fest.
That is this Saturday.
Get your tickets.
And it's $25. I was going to ask, because I know you don't drink, if you'd want to pay to go to a drinking event.
It's a weird thing. Like, I want to be there.
Your friends are going to be there.
Right. Well,
if all the cool
everyone's
kids
doing it
are there, would you go to?
I mean, I want to go, and I want to hang out with like, all my friends.
Right.
But do I want to pay the admission fee to not drink?
Right. That's
what I
was wondering. Yeah.
I did it before for the whole handmade bike and
but
beer.
But there was the bike aspect. For that one. This
oh,
one doesn't
definitely
necessarily have a. I mean, there is going to be She Jumps PDX, which is all about getting women outdoors and young women especially outdoors to do cool things. But and the Oregon Timber Trail. So there are going to be cool people there tied into the whole event. But it's not necessarily. It's definitely kind of a.
If there was a way I could get in just using my charm,
you should try that and see what happens.
That would be the best of all possibilities.
So anyways, that'll be the end of my month of not drinking. So
yeah.
I'm going to have a beer when I get there. I'm going to have two or three or whatever. February
11th, Friends of Gateway Green Work Party, RSVP.
They're asking for an RSVP because they have
so
to know how
they
many
know
shovels
how
to
many
bring.
Shovels,
yeah,
yes.
But they're sculpting that piece of land out there in East Portland.
And
you
if you
go
have
help
your
them
own shovels, you should bring your own shovels.
That's right. It's
but
shovel
you don't
ready
have to.
Yeah, February 26th, the Chili Hilly Ride in Seattle. And this is what Mr. T invited us to do. I don't think we're going to be able to go.
February 26th, it's going to be hard.
Yeah. But it's a charity ride for the kind of the bicycle nonprofit up there in Seattle, which is a cool deal. And he's going to be there. So if you want to meet Mr. T, you know, not the real Mr. Oh,
not,
he is the real Mr. T, but not that one.
He's
not
the Mr.
literally.
He's the Mr. T attached to the sprocket versus the
he's
Mr.
our
T
listener
attached to the A team.
Exactly. Yes. This Mr. T not on the A team. February 27th.
He's on our. Oh, okay, we're just convoluting it now.
Oh,
we?
He's on our.
He's on
A-team.
Our A team.
He'll always be on our A team. February 27th, the Menagerie in Motion Kinetic Derby in Gainesville, Florida. It's getting close now. We've been talking about this for like 6 months.
Yeah, I know.
And it's almost here.
I would be very interested to see if there's anyone, just anyone who shows up.
Well, yeah.
He's like, oh, yeah, I heard this on the Sprocket podcast.
I bet Johnny K would go. He's like,
so?
He's close
well,
to there.
Well, if you're still
who
listening,
knows?
Johnny,
get
yourself there.
But I would actually, maybe Joseph, who told us about this, would take his iPhone or something and record some snippets
ooh
of things happening at the Menagerie in Motion, because I'd like to
yeah
hear what's going on.
We should get
on
in contact with him.
Joseph?
We may have just done
are you
that
out there?
Yes.
Okay. March 11th.
The Dalles Mountain 60.
And have any of you done the Dalles
who's
Mountain
going
60?
Who's going?
I have not done it.
The Dalles.
Okay. Interested.
It's in the Dalles, Oregon, and it's 60 miles long. And it's pretty. So we hear. So I think I'm going to try and go to that one. I would like to.
June 14th, Bicycle Christmas.
That's right. Buy stuff.
Yes.
Yeah.
Buy a bike for somebody.
Bicycle.
Buy. Ooh.
Yeah.
There we go.
So, hey, well, what are the headlines? Tell me.
Headlines. First up, big news. We're moving servers.
Yes. Yes.
But our website is still the same.
That's right. So if you go to the Sprocket Podcast, you can go to the Sprocket Podcast in the year 2025, and it will still point to wherever our stuff is, even if it's just the archive on the internet.
Yes. And it was, hold on a second.
Mm-hmm. You mean our
Thomas
new home?
Gatto?
Oh.
Who pointed out he was having a rough time getting some of our earlier episodes.
That's right,
and
yeah.
That has something to do with moving servers. And
maybe. And iTunes only gives you the last 300. So sorry, guys. We're prolific. But no, if you want to listen to the old stuff, the really old stuff, and there's some good stuff back there. As I've been moving it to the new server, I was like, oh, yeah, these are. I remember those times. They're still at the sprocketpodcast.com. Or the archive.org. If you go there and search for the Sprocket Podcast.
We're there.
Some of the oldest stuff. I've been putting it up there, too.
Oh, okay.
So it can live forever.
Forever.
Yeah.
Or at least until, you know,
thanks for the
apocalypse.
Memories. So anyways, that's there. But yes, always go to the SprocketPodcast.com because we are there.
Next up, there is a new transit travel app out there. It's called Let's Skedaddle.
Right. And part of this was for the International Women's March that just happened, where so many people converge in various cities and everything.
So,
Let's Skedaddle is an app that will help you coordinate. Like, hey, we've got a big group of people that all want to go to the same place. Can we get a charter bus?
Or I'm just one person who wants to go to this place that I know a big group of people are going to go to.
Can I jump on board with them?
You know, I took a look at the site, and it reminds me, I'm going to tell stories from way back in the day when I was just a young lad.
They printed it on paper thin.
In the Michigan State University. they would have, you know, like the carpool board.
Oh,
and,
sure.
And, like, everyone would have, like, their little 3x5 card, like, looking for a ride to this place or, like,
trying to go to Bay City.
Spare room going to this or spare space in my car vehicle going to this place.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And so, you know, you could, like, go to the carpool board and, like, grab a card and go, like, okay, I'm going to connect with this person.
Right. And you might have noticed that it's really hard to find one of those carpool boards these days.
But their interface looks almost exactly like that.
Is that right?
Yes.
Really?
At least on their website.
Someone was inspired.
Yes.
That's kind of cool. So, yes, anyways, this is, it's already helped a bunch of people get places together, and I think...
Fish fans.
Yes.
There you go.
Absolutely. Well, and here's the thing. This is a great idea. If you know a certain, I want to say 15 people is the minimum it takes to book one of these trips, right? So I think if you can find 15 people that want to go to any Fish concert or whatever, they can all
then just, run away. No, I'm kidding.
Made Tommy Ty spit take. That was great. It's like there are a lot of places that you would like to go that it's really hard to find transit service to. But there's also a lot of places that, like, it's just too much of a pain to try and charter a bus yourself. You don't know who to call
definitely.
And what insurance you need and, like, who's going to drive it and if they're actually going to be cool people or not.
Mm-hmm.
So Skedaddle is making that happen. So it's a cool deal.
Cool.
Let's go anywhere, they say. Together.
Together. next up from the Washington Post, this comes to us from our good friend Tim Mooney.
Of the Pedal Shift Project at pedalshift.net. Yeah.
Or just pedalshift.net. I said the... in front of it. It's just
we should try
it's
thepedalshift.net and see what happens.
Better buy that up, Tim.
He's got a great show, and he's coming back to Portland for another podcast at some point in the spring. So,
Possible crossover?
Yes.
We'll see.
A definite crossover.
Is biking stressing you out? Here's how planners are trying to make things better. And
how?
This article talks about various cities, mostly in the D.C. area, but they also talk about planners in San Jose just mapping things out and making... cycling a little bit better.
That's where Scott lives.
Oh, yeah.
Scott
Morgan. McAllister Morgan.
Yeah. He's one of our legacy donors.
Yeah. Well, I bet he would love this article.
I bet he would.
Well, I bet any of our listeners would love this article because it talks about remapping and relooking at streets specifically for how to get people on bikes from point A to point B.
Gotcha.
Whereas... most times transit planners or city planners are just like, well, we'll just throw a bike lane here because it's an easy way to get from point A to point B, but it's also not a major arterial.
Let's just drop a bike lane here.
Right. Let's just put some paint here.
Oops, sorry. I forgot that. Fell out of my pocket.
Yeah, some planners in Washington region, along with a growing number across the U.S., are beginning to pay more attention to the vast majority of people who they say would bike more often and to more places if doing so felt safe. And there's the key word there.
And feeling
making
safe.
It safer, making it feel safe for people. It's capturing that whole, like, what is it, interested but
concerned. It doesn't seem to me like it matters whether it is safe. It matters whether it feels
whether
safe.
Whether it feels or oh, definitely.
Because I asked that question like a year ago or something, like, you know, does it matter if it feels safe, if it is safe? But it does for most people. It's like this. I don't want my experience to suck.
Yeah, I mean, I would go so far as to say, like, riding division is safe.
Right.
You know,
does it feel safe?
Does it certainly not? Does it look safe? No.
Nope.
Feelings are important.
Feelings,
right.
Feelings, right? Gut feelings and thoughts are very important.
Although you
do,
Aaron Flores, you do like to take the lane and kind of sort of piss off some people in cars. Sometimes.
Air. I mean, I don't like to piss off people.
But you have to. You're compelled to.
I wasn't hugged enough as a child.
We may not all have that same compulsion, but one thing we do have.
Hey, we got mail.
Let's try that again.
I'll fix it in post.
Okay. First up, some deep cuts here. We
deep
got a comment
cuts.
From episode 261A.
Yeah.
Listener Marty says, Stihl, S-T-I-H-L, the tool company, is pronounced Stihl.
Stihl, like the metal.
And I think that whole time we've been pronouncing it still.
Right.
Which then, this sparked a conversation. JP then added, you should tell Google that, and connected us with a YouTube video on how to pronounce Stihl, according to this video. Which then Ross says, Stihl is real. Spelling S-T-I-H-L-R-I-H-L. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Thanks, guys. And Marty, thank you for listening. Again, it's a deep cut. It means a lot whenever anybody cares enough to go that far back.
To go, like, a few issues back.
Right, right.
You know, again, shout out to, like, anybody who goes that far. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's amazing.
Yeah. You should go back and listen to Aaron Flores' first episode on the Sprocket Podcast.
But which one is it?
I know, right? You'll have to find out. But wait a minute.
I believe that was a trivia question once.
It was. Yes. And is. And shall
and
be.
Now. Forevermore. Fuebe comments on episode 335.
That was just last episode.
Yes. She says it's a great show. And she's glad to see that we are still going strong, even though she hasn't been listening to us all that much in recent. But even despite the alarming weather there in Portland, we are still going strong. And she thinks that Guthrie is gave a very lovely review of his trip to India. She says, I was especially impressed with his thoughtfulness and attentiveness towards his sister.
Mm-hmm.
Also, his sensitivity towards inter and intracultural matters showed a lot of self-awareness and kindness.
And that's because that's who that guy is. You guys know Guthrie Straw?
No, cool, I want to know him.
Yeah, no, you should.
Well, why not?
Where is he hanging out this weekend?
He's a nice guy. And he's a guy who, like, he kind of knows what's up.
Man, that sounds like a person you would want
to
meet.
Totally. Listen to episode 335. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. One thing that she mentioned that I kind of also want to reiterate is something that happens a lot, especially with, I would say, white and especially male tourists, not necessarily of the cycle variety, but also of the cycle variety.
But in general.
This sense of exoticism of, like, ooh, I'm in this strange land and look at all of these strange people. And
I'm taking a selfie with a basket.
Right, exactly. And, you know, for a lot of people, be it even within our own contiguous states,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's just every day. It's not exotic.
Right.
You know?
I'm taking a selfie in Tennessee with a thing.
Right, exactly.
Yep.
I mean, it's cool to have like that sense of wonder, but there's wonder and exoticism, and I think there's actually not that fine of a line between the two.
Grounded appreciation is kind of the thing, right?
There you go.
That's what Guthrie has.
Yes.
That's what you're talking
about.
Yes, and
Fuebe.
And she heard about, yeah.
Made sure to point that out and to affirm that. And,
yeah.
So, yeah, thanks, Fuebe.
Yeah, thank you. And we should connect and have coffee or something next time I'm in Boston. Yeah.
Yes. Or next time you're in Portland.
Right. Yeah. And Superfan Aqua talks about Yak Trax, our favorite traction device for your shoes. She says Yak Trax for life.
Yes. Never thought I would need them, but I'm glad they came along with me, i.e. she brought them with her from Pennsylvania.
Ah, yes.
Yes.
Ah, prepared. Nice.
One of those reasons why I moved here was to have a winter without snow. That didn't last long, but glad it's finally gone.
Yeah.
By the way, thanks for the shout out in the latest episode. Still doing research on the trip, talking about her Amtrak trip.
That's right. Bike by Amtrak to Pennsylvania.
And she gives us a piece of good news. She is not moving.
That's good.
She is just visiting family.
She better not move. She's my best friend. God damn it.
You heard it here.
At least that's what she says in the email. All right. Well, this has been a good episode. We should probably wrap this up, eh?
I guess so.
All right. Thank you again, Puddle Cycle crew and Paula. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, it's been great to be here.
It's been a pleasure. I'm sorry I left your fancy beverages behind. I hope the corn syrup was okay.
Excellent corn syrup. Okay.
Excellent vintage.
Thank you, Monsanto.
All right. Here come your credits.
Our website is thesprocketpodcast.com.
Write to us at thesprocketpodcast@gmail.com.
Call or text 2503-847-9774.
Twitter at Sprocket Podcast.
Thanks to Ryan J. Lane for our theme music.
Herb Bird for our headline center.
Marcus Norman for graphic design.
And thanks to our sustaining donors, Logan Smith, Shadowfoot, Katharina Mellengard,
Wayne Norman, Doug Robertson, Ethan Georgie,
Justin Martin, Eric Iverson, Cameron Lean,
Richard Wazinski, Tim Mooney, Orange and Purple,
Glenn Kubish, Matt Kelly, Jim Gooden,
Eric Wise, Doug Cohen Miller, Todd Parker,
Chris Gonzalez, Dan Kebhart, who's a time traveler, Zoe Campagna,
Dave Knows, Chris Smith, Christy Kaster,
Caleb Jenkinson, J.P. Keeley, Peanut Butter Jar Matt,
Peter Patrick Archain, Sebastian Poole, Marco Lowe,
Rich Otterstrom, Andrew in Colorado, Drew the Welder,
Anna, Krista, John Wasserman,
Andre Johnson, the King of Division, Josh Zissen,
Richard G., Guthrie Straw, Brandon Shelby,
Campsite, Aaron Green, Mac Nurse David,
Kathy at Cycling, Walking, Eating, Talking,
Nathan Poulton, Chris Rossin, Rory in Michigan,
Michael Flournoy, Jeremy Kitchen, David Belays,
Tim Coleman, Mr. T, Harry Hugel,
Ed Whitman, EJ Finneran, Paul Culbertson,
Brad Hipwell, Thomas Skato, and all of our former donors who helped us get this far.
Ah, yes. Now, brush your teeth.
Okay. And go to bed.